Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott,
Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Oh, here's something good to start with today. I could almost call it a moment of doubt, but I actually have a good one of those coming up a little later in the program. Antibiotics. Okay, is anybody under the impression that antibiotics are benign instruments of good versus evil? Right? We got the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. We got to kill the bad guys. Oh, we killed the good guys too. Oh, we've got the Pentagon at work in the medical profession, do we not? The Department of Defense works for Big Pharma or vice versa. Where does one begin and the other end? I don't know. But antibiotic use, according to this story from Reuters, published on Fox News, and I have linked at the blog at robertscottbell.com, antibiotic use is tied to what? Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. I wonder, what do they use to treat Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis? Can you say antibiotics? Oh my gosh, you win a prize. Actually, you don't. You get the next drug on down the road because the antibiotics, well, they stop suppressing the very thing that they cause. Weirdly enough, I don't know. I'm shaking my head and making cartoon noises. But antibiotic use tied to Crohn's ulcerative colitis, they use it when you have it. They give it to you, then they give you more, and that stops. And then they go on down the road to what? Prednisone, an immune suppressant liver toxic drug called prednisone to reduce the inflammation, the chronic inflammation that is affiliated. Oh, it's an affiliate. It's like an Amazon affiliate? A Crohn's disease and an affiliate of antibiotic use, as well as ulcerative colitis. Make money now, ask me how. Take more antibiotics. If you're a doc, you're going to get more money, you'll get more patients. And of course, the prednisone leads to what? This immunosuppressant therapy, which reduces inflammation, leads to dependence because you can't come off of that stuff cold turkey. But when that stops working, and surely it will, yes, and don't call me surely, you will then go to the colorectal surgeon if you're a good little patient of allopathic pseudoscience. And that colorectal surgeon will say, listen, we've just run out of options. I'm so sorry. Your gastroenterologist did the best he or she could, but we've run out. You can't take more prednisone. The antibiotics stopped working long ago after we destroyed your gut outright with the collateral damage of the antibiotics. I think we need to remove the tissue. Well, yeah, I'd like to say that it's just a little bit of tissue, but we're going to remove a few feet of your intestines, maybe even part of your colon. But we'll give you this nice little bag as a parting gift that you can wear outside of your body. And my apologies, sincere apologies to anybody who has ever been or is scheduled to go through this surgery. If you can at all avoid it, I would highly recommend it, as I do for all body part removal services of the medical profession. Avoid them at all costs. should you decide and eventually have a bag, then of course it's a very big challenge from then on to truly absorb the nutrients you're designed by God to absorb, but do the level best you can with whatever we have in the dietary supplement industry. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. The FDA working in collusion with the United Nations, Codex Alimentarius, World Health Organization, trying to bring us all under some UN international treaty to harmonize all of the world's laws to fit the pharmaceutical agenda to prevent you from having access to that which might keep you alive genuinely and keep you out of the doctor's office, certainly keep you away from ever having to get cut upon by the butchers of the gastroenterological field. Antibiotics tied to Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. How many times have I spent and how much time have I spent sharing with you my experience with overcoming my own gut inflammatory diseases? I've been interviewed about it a number of times. Liam Sheff has taken over the microphone here at the Robert Scott Bell Show occasionally just to turn the tables on me, just to make me spill my guts on the air, right? Ooh, gross. Don't do that, Robert. Well, the way I do it, I hopefully empower you to go a different direction, a direction unapproved by government. Yes, that's right. The FDA has not approved anything that I say, and that's the way I like it. And you listen because you like it, too. Or if you don't like it, you just can't believe what I'm saying. Oh, my gosh, did you hear what Robert said now? He's not approved by the FDA, and he admits it? Oh, yeah, I do. Happy to do so. People who are prescribed a large number of antibiotics tend to have a higher risk of inflammatory bowel disease, IBD. A new study finds, providing more evidence that antibiotics may be disturbing bacteria in our intestine. Maybe they could actually get away with writing this. This is the media that people follow still. Is it any wonder why natural news is growing and this show is growing? And AlternativeNews.com, which Mike Adams launched recently, is growing very rapidly. Oh, wait. We have an author here, a co-author of this paper, Dr. Charles N. Bernstein, who studies bowel disorders at the University of Manitoba. He was talking to Reuters about it. He says, it's not that the antibiotics cause inflammatory bowel disease, but it further supports the hypothesis that changing the gut flora may be disadvantageous. Maybe. Where do we keep hearing this maybe? Well, we're not sure. Listen, you put those things in, it's like napalm goes off in your gut. Everything is wiped out. Maybe these doctors need to go back to school and learn something so that they can regurgitate at least something that makes them look at least semi-intelligent. Previous studies have linked antibiotic use and IBD, right? Previous studies. How about previous clinical observations over dozens of years? In fact, my childhood was filled with that kind of scenario before they had a name like IBD or Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. In this current study, the Canadian researchers found 12% of people diagnosed with two conditions had been prescribed three or more antibiotics 2 years before, compared to 7% without a disease. The difference was consistent over a five-year period. In other words, if antibiotics were solely responsible for the difference, every 20 people prescribed three or more antibiotics, there would be one extra case of IBD. And once they found that, took it into account, they said 50% more likely to get Crohn's. 50%, pretty significant, not minor, major. Now, I look to, well, the fact that in my upbringing, growing up on antibiotics instead of nutrition, that it set the stage for lifelong problems. And certainly the first 24 years of my life were filled with gut dysbiosis, IBD, IBS, leaky gut, everything else. The allergies that I had from them were very, very real and discomforting. And so what I'd like to call your attention to, in fact, is not that if you've had two or three antibiotics in the last few years, but if you've even had one round in childhood that was not responded to accordingly to restore integrity to the gut, and not just the probiotics, which are very critical. You know, I describe it in terms of the jungle, right? Certain things grow in the jungle. If you deforest the jungle, what grows there? It becomes very devoid of a lot of life that would normally be there. And that is the same thing that happens when you just basically napalm your gut with these antibiotics, and then suddenly you throw probiotics in and you expect them to be the miracle that they should be, the miracle of life itself. Except you throw them down there like, whoa, what are you doing here? What kind of place is this? This is the desert. We don't grow in the desert. Where are the trees? Where's the foliage? Where's our cover? Right? The villi, the little hair-like projections wiped out, the leaky gut, the inflammation of the tissue. Now, it's true in minor cases, these microbes can work with the body to help heal the tissue. But in the disaster, in the abject disaster that is antibiotic therapy, we have such destruction of the gut over the, what, is it miles, feet? How do you describe it? I mean, surface area would be described in hundreds of miles, thousands. I mean, we're talking real surface area around the little villa that have to be reestablished. We're talking about a major league mess. And how do we regenerate it? How do we not only replenish the flora, which is not difficult to do? You know, I would encourage, in fact, I'm planning, hopefully I got scheduled tomorrow on the program, Dr. Fred Pescatore. He's the one gastroenterology guy that I really like because he gets it. He understands. We talk on the same wavelength. If you go back in the Natural News Radio show archives of the Robert Scott Bell Show, find the show with Fred Pescatore. We'll cover some of that ground again, and we'll break new ground in restoring integrity to the intestinal system. In fact, I should have saved this story for tomorrow, but I just can't wait. Call me impatient. Fine. Actually, I'm a very patient man. You ask my wife. She's like, I don't know where you get your patience. But in fact, the fact of the matter is, though, I see these stories and I just got to cover them sometimes when I see them. Sometimes I'll hold a story off if I think I can. But in the case of the antibiotic damage to the gut, I could not. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about how to restore that. But I just want to tell you also on today's show, we've got some fantastic guests lined up, including Charlie Brown's going to be joining me next segment from Consumers for Dental Choice. There is a tremendous admission, or let's say claim, that the FDA is going to do something later in the year regarding amalgam mercury fillings. What might that be? Or is this another red herring? We're going to find out with Charlie Brown next. Also, guess who's coming up back on the Robert Scott Bell Show? It's been a while. Dr. John Apsley's been working feverishly on his book, Post-Fukushima, to talk about the reality that which is not being covered by the old media. How dangerous, how disastrous is this? How long into the future will it last? And will you end up with cancer simply because you thought, well, I can't see it and the authorities told me there was nothing to worry about? Well, I'm not saying that there is something to worry about, because worry indicates that you have no control over your future. And what we're going to bring you is that level of control, or that power to heal, back to you, with Dr. John Apsley next hour. Also, we'll have a moment of duh. I have to remember what we're going to do. I knew there was one. I'll review the stories on the break, and we'll get to that. But first and foremost, before I take the break, I just want to reiterate the intestinal recovery protocol that I've covered many times before on the show. I don't cover it often, and I know you want me to. But I'm going to work. We're working on a, Liam and I, Liam Sheff and I are working on a video as well as the book to get all this information out as soon as possible in that regard. And it is coming. I'll let you know. But in the meantime, in addition to L-glutamine, which is the amino acid most people are familiar with for helping to regenerate the lining, and in addition to silica, which is the homeopathic silica is silicea, which you can utilize also for scarring and scar tissue. But in this case, it's true as well for the adhesions that can develop because of the damage due to the inflammation of the cells of the lining, the epithelium, which is like your skin tissue outside of your body, but in the gut, that is your barrier from the outside world, outside environment, to the inside environment. In order to heal that, we use L-glutamine. We utilize silica as a trace mineral for the connective tissue. But the great unknown before I brought it forward here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, very known only to very few doctors, and now maybe to thousands of Americans and people around the world since I've been sharing it, is the utilization of the bioactive form of silver hydrosol in combination with the aloe vera juice, which will help to carry it past the stomach. Take an ounce of each 3 times a day prior to meals. And in this way, you're promoting regeneration of healthy new tissue. You're eliminating a dysbiosis. By definition, silver is antimicrobial. You'll understand that. Normally, we wouldn't want to drive it to the gut like an antibiotic. It would cleanse a lot of the tissue. Although the good news here is that the silver, unlike the antibiotic, is not harmful to your mammalian cells. In fact, quite the opposite. It reduces inflammation by downregulating what's known as cytokine storms, and upregulating the replacement of healthy new tissue via the stimulation of stem cell production. You can go back to Dr. Robert Becker's book, The Body Electric, and you'll learn a lot about what I'm referencing here. And there's a lot more science since Dr. Becker put his book out and his research that he published, well over a decade ago now or more. So this is very important to reiterate the ease with which this could be done with homeopathic medicine and probiotics and better food. It took me a couple of years and then some to overcome my intestinal disorders. However, with the silver aloe and then the probiotic protocol, I can see this happening, what took me 2 years and 2 months. Think about that. No antibiotics, no prednisone, no colorectal surgeon. Your choice if you believe in the freedom to heal. Of course, your government doesn't believe you should know this kind of information and wants it censored. Not here, not now, not ever. And by the way, if you want some of the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics that I utilize as well, give my dear friend Jonathan Wagner a call at 866-424-1077, and I will give you a sneak preview of what we're going to do with Dr. Pescatore, whether he is able to come on or not. Tomorrow, you'll be able to call that number I just gave you, 866-424-1077, and when you order two bottles, or boxes, I should say, of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at a great discount, you will then be given Dr. Pescatore's book on gastrointestinal health absolutely free. And that is an exciting deal. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But I'm going to take a break now. And if you have any questions or comments, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. A lot of your questions probably already answered in previous shows, but occasionally I revisit because I know it's important to repeat that which is never heard or uttered in the old media so that we can fill in those old bad record grooves and start living our lives differently, empowered, take on those who would stand in the way of health, freedom, and liberty. We do a little bit of that, don't we? Well, we're coming right back after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com, naturalnewsradio.com. Don't forget to enter your email address there so you can get updated every day. Back after this with Charlie Brown from Consumers for Dental Choice.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Returning now to discuss the amalgam issue, the amalgamation of mercury in your mouth. And how long does it take the FDA to screw in a mercury light bulb or to ban mercury being put in the mouths of babes and moms and dads and kids everywhere? And, of course, this has been the ongoing, saga that Consumers for Dental Choice and my good friend Charlie Brown, who's been a champion here working for Mercury Free Dentistry, has been working for so many years, just got a release yesterday about the FDA agreeing to an amalgam announcement. What does that mean? Does that mean they're finally going to admit mercury doesn't belong anywhere in this stuff? Or are they going to say, well, we've decided we really do love mercury? Well, to find that out, let's talk with Charlie Brown right now. Back to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Charlie, welcome back.
Robert, great to be on your show, and thank you for the message you give continually to Americans, getting the message out directly and correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. We do our level best, and it's thanks to you as well for getting that clarity, as well as to putting the feet to the fire, you know, very directly. Of course, we know there are a lot of activists out there supporting you and Consumers for Dental Choice, but at the same point, we've got to have a focal point to, you know, lead to something that is results-oriented. And this latest release that you sent out, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's director of the Center for Devices has agreed that FDA will issue an, quote, in quotes, announcement on amalgam by the end of this year. But really, what does this mean based on the track record in history? What are we anticipating, expecting? I realize we're not deluded into thinking they're suddenly going to be thinking clearly, but could there be something good that happens?
Yes, there could be something good. And I think we start by saluting the Americans and people around the world as well, who just would not let up on the Food and Drug Administration. This is an agency that clearly did not want to do anything about amalgam. They still don't want to do anything about amalgam. But at some point, people feel the heat if they don't see the light. And FDA three times went into the field this year. The Center for Devices went out and held town meetings, once in Texas, once in Florida, and once in California. Those are our three biggest states in population, as you know, Robert. In
fact,
I believe a quarter of Americans live in one of those three states. The turnout was fantastic. Now, it was just a town meeting. When I say just, it meant FDA would take input on anything, that any device that it works on. Generally, these are the corporate people that go and quietly say to FDA, can you, because the media don't come, and say, can you let up on us some? But we turned it into a real circus, if you will, in a positive sense of the word, a real show.
Yes.
And the media were there. It was the front page of the Orlando Sentinel the day they were in Florida. In Texas, it was the main event by far, television coverage, both places. And then California was the third one. And by now, I think FDA had really tired of the idea that every time the Center for Devices goes in the field to get public comment, they don't get a story that says, isn't it nice that FDA is seeking public comment? They get a story and say, when are the heck you guys going to do the amalgam? And that was the entire story three times out of three. And I think clearly our message is getting out. FDA has even told members of its own scientific panel it does want to solve the amalgam issue. I don't I'm very temperate in my optimism. Several times they have promised to act. Several times they have just absolutely just deceived us.
Right.
So I don't want to hold any. I hold hope they will do something this year. But we have to keep the heat on. We have to get the message across, because the something could be, let's kick the can down the road a couple more years, and that is not tolerable.
Well, and that's happened so many times that I would not be surprised. We'd be disappointed, but it would not be surprised. Now, it was interesting in this article. You talk about our friend and grassroots director there for you guys, Anita Vasquez Tibau, and she was actually meeting on the issue of the Hispanic assault on the Hispanic community by mercury amalgam, because it, you know, very often certain communities, especially if they have a large group that are part of the lower part of the socioeconomic scale, so to speak, they don't have access as much to this information. The dentists are certainly not communicating the options, nor actually giving the truthful information that in fact those amalgams are mercury, where they could at least make some level of informed decision to say, no, I don't want that in my child. And it seems like she really went at this. Who is this Dr. Shuren, Dr. Jeff Shuren?
That's right. Shuren is the top man for the Center for Devices. He is the number one decision maker on amalgam, on this issue. Yes, Anita did that. And clearly in America, while many, many people are hurt by amalgam, all races, all demographics, all ages, it's disproportionate on our Latino and Hispanic brothers and sisters, on our African American and Native American brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. They're just more likely in the demographic to get hammered. I'm from West Virginia. Many, many white and Anglo people have been terribly harmed from amalgam, of course, too.
Yes, yes.
But Anita raised the language issue that amalgam is being peddled in the Latino community as amalgama plata, silver filling, sounds familiar. And no one uses the word mercurio. And she said to Dr. Schurin, you need to clear this up at FDA. Why are you letting this go on? You know it's going on. Or if you don't, you do now. Mm-hmm. Let's stop the use of this term amalgama plata, silver fillings. It is an absolute deception and outrage to Hispanic Americans.
Yeah, and Anita, in this article here you're talking about, she reminded this Dr. Schurin of his own famous, as you call it, a boast here. We don't use our people as guinea pigs in the U.S., which is a very strong statement. I wish it were true. Then she held high a photograph of a Latino kindergartner whose mouth is filled top and bottom with mercury fillings. And, you know, quote here, FDA admits that amalgam can cause neurological harm in young children. Their developing neurological systems are more sensitive to the neurotoxic effects of mercury vapor, says FDA. And FDA admits there is no evidence that amalgam is safe in children under age 6. No clinical information is available, says FDA. And then she continues, so stop treating Latino children like guinea pigs. Man, she nailed it.
Yes, Anita Vasquez-Tibau did an incredible job out there. And FDA in general, and Jeff Schurin in particular, has something to answer for. First, the rule he signed in 2009 with his signature, and that he was the one accountable then too, he said that there is no clinical information, little or none, no clinical information saying amalgam is safe for children under 6. Hmm. Well, for a federal health agency, there's only one answer then. And yet the answer was, we aren't going to do anything. It was the wrong answer. It was the immoral and illegal answer when they didn't know. So now Jeff Schurin stands up and says, we don't treat people like guinea pigs. Well,
she called them out.
When you have Latino children or any children under 6 having their mouths full of amalgam, the accountable party, besides the dentists who do it in the ADA on the private side, is the Food and Drug Administration. Dr. Jeff Schurin needs to answer to the American people. Why is mercury filling still going into children under 6? The word guinea pig is not a word we used. He used it. He said the European regulators treat patients like guinea pigs. The Food and Drug Administration does not. I think the pot has now called the kettle black. I'm not going to defend what Europe is doing.
No.
I'm going to criticize Dr. Schurin.
Yeah, but that really, I think he may live to regret those words, because it's so obvious that in many ways the FDA does treat the American people and minorities as well as guinea pigs, as been throughout history, and they've been caught at it many times. And what he said is, what I can tell you is, we intend, right? Remember that the language is not an accident. It's not we will, but we intend to come out with an announcement by the end of the year. So now they have just over 3 months, as we air this for the first time today, to respond. What will they do? Will Schurin eat his words? Will he be let go for saying something so strongly? What will happen next? I think the thing is, we just need to keep up the heat and let them know we are watching. And of course, those of you who haven't already signed up for updates from ToxicTeeth.org, that's another place that you'll be kept up to date, just like I am, so we can cover these stories about the dangers of the amalgam. So, you know, on this front, this is huge. I mean, do we write letters at this point to Dr. Schurin? What do you think
is
best?
We cannot stand by and watch. Mm-hmm. FDA simply does not act that way. They respond when the public's interested, when the media are interested, when Capitol Hill is interested. In fact, if this were a major problem, why is Dr. Schurin announcing that he's going to announce instead of just acting?
Right.
Here's his telephone number, if I can give that, Robert Scott Bell, and I'll give his email address too, if you'd like.
Absolutely. He needs to hear from all of us.
Well, the telephone number is 301-796-5900. Again, that's Dr. Jeff Schurin of the Food and Drug Administration, 301-796-5900. And ask Dr. Schurin or his office or his voicemail, when and how are they going to act against amalgam? Because the time is up, and if he promised action, let's have it, and let's get amalgam off the market, starting with the children and the young women, the pregnant women. His email, if you'd rather do that, is jeff.shurin, and I'll spell it here, just Jeff, J-E-F-F dot Shurin, S-H-U-R-E-N, at FDA, lies in Food and Drug Administration, FDA dot H-H-S dot gov, G-O-V, Jeff Shurin at FDA dot H-H-S dot G-O-V.
And don't worry, in case you didn't get all of that, it's also listed. I've got it linked up in today's show notes, including the entire email alert that was sent out from the Consumers for Dental Choice. And that is up at robertscottbell.com until it can be posted to the web. But as I said, if you can sign up for email alerts there, you'll also be up to date as soon as these email blasts hit you. You know, will the FDA do as its own scientists, for goodness sake, recommended, that they should end the mercury fillings, amalgams in children, pregnant women, hypersensitive adults, and make sure that every parent knows amalgam is mercury, not silver? As I said, if they say, we're announcing what? We don't know. We got to figure out, how do we backtrack? How do we do a little tap dance? How do we do a little razzle-dazzle, Charlie? I mean, this is the kind of thing from the movie and the play Chicago, the razzle-dazzle.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's correct. How do we keep this at the top of the pile? It should be at the top of the pile with the FDA, but it's our duty to keep it there, not let them walk away, not let them think when they announce they're going to announce that we'll breathe a sigh of relief and walk away. We are not going away until FDA takes amalgam off the market. Or it's done through the World Treaty. Mm-hmm. And FDA needs to realize that they're going to go out in the field and seek the opinion of the American people every time. It's happened 3 times out of 3 in 2011. Every time in every state, New York, California, Texas, you can go to other states too, the public reaction is going to be at the top of the list. What are you going to do about mercury dental fillings? Mm.
Well, first, we want to urge you to say thanks to Dr. Shurin. Always start with a pleasantry. If you do call or write, yes, say thanks for agreeing to act on amalgam this year. Whether he actually said that or not is irrelevant at this point, what he believes he said. But the reality is, let's say thanks first. That's how you start. And then ask him to take action. You know, don't just announce that the FDA might act on something in the future. And you go to this letter, you'll see, as Anita has explained, and you should all know, our kids are being experimented upon. Yes, they are being guinea pigged, the very thing he says does not happen. And third, just say, hey, Dr. Shurin, don't believe me. Just take the advice of your own FDA scientists that convened in December of 2010. I mean, after all, he convened them. Stop the mercury fillings in children, pregnant women, hypersensitive adults immediately, and warn every consumer that amalgam is indeed mercury, a known neurotoxin, the second most toxic substance known to man. It has no place, in my mind, in medicine, unless it's a homeopathic medicine. And in that case, you're actually helping the body to pull it out.
That's the right message. We obviously are polite. We do want to thank him for saying he'll announce. But as I say, an announcement of an announcement has to be followed by action. And action this year. If this is an announcement that they're going to keep studying the issue for more years, they've studied it a long time. They've had 30-some years of protecting dentistry. Dentists have come into the profession and left just using mercury fillings, making easy profits, while the FDA is playing the piano downstairs. So let's now get the message to FDA that it's not next year. It's now this year, this month, this week is the time to stop amalgam use in children, at least, because their scientists have told them they need to do that.
Rock and roll, Charlie Brown from Consumers for Dental Choice, also the president of the World Alliance for Mercury-Free Dentistry. Once again, I have all the links up. Charlie, thank you for coming on board on such short notice to let this message out there to the Robert Scott Bell Show audience, everybody listening through Natural News and elsewhere. And appreciate all of your good works. We continue to support you in any way we can.
Thank you for your message, Robert Scott Bell. Your message to the American people and the people of North America is so essential. This is where they can hear what things are going on, what things are important in healthcare, and what steps they can take for their own lives and their own family, and to challenge their own government.
Well, remember, there's lots of work to do and plenty of good people to work with, like Charlie Brown and the crew at Consumers for Dental Choice. Thanks again, Charlie. We're coming right back with more powerful healing on today's edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
You know, I don't think I can handle any more of the Mercury madness, but I am grateful that there are people fighting the good fight to raise awareness about the dangers of dental mercury, or mercury in any of the forms coming in through shots or otherwise. And that's why we have Charlie Brown on as often as possible, especially when there's breaking news on these subjects. And I urge you to support that great organization. Good people all the way around, doing a lot for very little. So thanks again to Charlie Brown. Now, lightening it up a little bit. Is it a lightning round? No, not yet. Remember, we've got Dr. John Apsley coming up next hour. We're going to talk more radiation. It is a show, an hour that you do not miss. Do not miss, because your life, the life of your children, and I am not exaggerating, just to get you to listen. I don't often say that, but I tell you the stuff we're going to be covering next hour, very, very important. But before we get there, we've got to, cover some things that are so obvious. You say, Robert, why do you cover that? Well, you know, somebody's got to point out the obvious, but here it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost taxpayers anything for me to point them out. But sometimes it lightens up the load a little bit as we do so. So today we've got another
moment of duh.
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
No.
What is your major malfunction?
Today's moment of duh starts with a pop quiz. Let me ask you something here. You are a pedestrian in a big city with lots of cars, diesels, and everything. and you're a cyclist in a big city, traveling around those same streets, but you're cycling about in a big city with lots of cars, diesels included. Which one of you will inhale more soot? And do you need a study to figure this one out? If you said the cyclist, ding, 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 you win the Moment of Duh prize. That's right. A study finds that people who cycle through big cities inhale more black carbon than pedestrians, which may cause lung damage or trigger heart attacks. Which may. Is that the theme here today? May cause. We're not sure. It may cause. Okay. Inhaling soot is good for you. It may cause great health and vitality. It may cause you to live forever. It may. See how ridiculous this is? This is according to British researchers. Maybe it didn't cost the U.S. taxpayer anything. Well, thank God something didn't. Study leader Jonathan Grigg from Barts and the London School of Medicine and colleagues compared the lung dose of black carbon in cyclists and pedestrians. By the way, have you ever been to London? I used to travel there as a kid. Well, as a kid, I was there a couple of times, but more as a teenager and young adult, I would travel. I have family in London. My wife even grew up in England a few years of her young life, but family in London. And I'm telling you, when I traveled through the streets of London, not as a biker, but as a pedestrian, man, oh man, by the end of the day, when I got back home and blew my nose into that tissue, it was chimney hell. I felt like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. Blow that nose. Oh my gosh, what is that black stuff? Am I going to die? Yes, the black soot in London, so it's appropriate that this happened there. But think about it. That was just from walking around and riding in the subway and everywhere else. Imagine, why would it be? Riddle me this, Batman. Why would it be that a cyclist, a bicyclist, would inhale more soot? Could it be that a cyclist might be inhaling deeply, more frequently, because their heart rate is moving up higher than someone who is just pedaling about? Pedestrian about, not pedaling like a bike. Could it be, Batman? Yes, I think so. To measure lung dose, the researchers sampled a lower airway cell called the airway macrophage, a specialized cell that sits on the airway surface and ingests foreign material. The researchers collected sputum. Oh, isn't that a lovely word? Sputum! Look out, it's sputum! Duck, run! Oh, yeah, my kids have fun with that. Every time one of them, if they yell at each other, I don't know if you're do you have cats and dogs like I do? I mean, they're wonderful children, but God bless these kids. I fought with my sister, too. Listen, it's just, I guess, the nature, unless you got the saintly kids, maybe you do, but the kids are going to fight. I talk to other parents, too. Oh, she spit on me. She spit on my food. Ooh, he spit on me. I'm going to spit back. You know, it could be accident, but it could be on purpose. Oh, how did I get on that? Oh, yes, sputum sample from adults. I'm sorry, I got onto kids. These are all non-smoking, healthy urban commuters aged 18 to 40, regularly cycling to work in London, and five pedestrians analyzed the amount of black carbon found in their airway macrophages. They ate it up, right? Well, the study found cyclists had 2.3 times more black carbon in their lungs compared with pedestrians. The probability that this difference occurred by chance, less than 1 in 100. Dude, do you need a study to figure this out? Well, let's see what they concluded. The results of the study have shown that cycling in a large European city increases exposure to black carbon. Duh! Sorry to be so bold to say that, but that's according to Dr. Chinedu Nwankwo, one of the researchers of the study. This could be due to a number of factors, including the fact that oh my gosh, I hadn't even read to this paragraph. Look at me. I'm so smart. Pat myself on the back. No, you could have figured it out. In fact, you may have already prior to the show. That's how smart the audience is here in the Robert Scott Bell Show. The cyclists breathe more deeply and at a quicker rate than pedestrians while in closer proximity to exhaust fumes, which could increase the number of air, particles penetrating the lungs. Are you smarter than a sixth grader, a fifth grader, a fourth grader, a third grader? Jeff Foxworthy, this would have been a great question. I wonder if we could figure it out. And I bet that the sixth graders would figure it out, too. Well, there's your moment of duh for today. Hope you don't mind a little levity. Hey, last Sunday on the show that I do for Genesis Communications Network, which is GCNlive.com, it's the same network as Alex Jones. I do a Sunday show for a couple of hours in the afternoon in the East Coast morning time, and I've got affiliates all over the country, including the great state of Alaska, or should I say Alaska State. and those that love liberty up there love the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I had my dear friend Christopher Barr. He's known as Not a Doc at notadoc.org. We covered extensively some pulmonary lung conditions. I had somebody questioning about sarcoidosis and other things. So I went into a long explanation of the homeopathic medicines that could be used to help the lungs. Now, clearly, we've got to detoxify the lungs. We've got to increase glutathione production so that, of course, we can bind out and take out by any means necessary the toxic poisons accumulating, metabolic waste as well, from the tissues of the body, from the cells and the liver. And this is done through a number of different remedies and from a number of different supplements as well, particularly increasing your levels of selenium, preferably from a food-grown source. You know, Brazil nuts were high in selenium, although not as high as they once were, as so many foods on planet Earth have been depleted of the minerals that were once made available to them in the healthy soils, but because of the pollution, they're already bound out and unavailable to the plants. And there are other things. I'm not going to get into chemical agriculture intensely right now. But in addition to selenium, we can increase glutathione production by consuming untreated, unheated, if you will, unpasteurized whey protein from grass-fed animals like cows. And that's the One World Whey that you hear about from time to time here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So that's another option for you. But when we get specifically into lung conditions, we want to help the lungs to do their job more efficiently to help them detoxify. Because let's face it, the lungs are, in fact, an excretory organ. They are. I mean, they're not the same as the liver. But in their own way, they excrete waste, particularly carbon dioxide, which when you breathe in the air, you exhale, you take some of the oxygen, you exhale the waste product of the carbon dioxide. Now, that is an excretory process, albeit one that is a gaseous exchange. But when your liver, kidney, spleen, colon, all of the excretory organs of your body, intestinal health is not up to speed, then your other systems and organs adapt. And that includes your skin. You live in a polluted terrain. It's not just the pollutants that get trapped in the layers of your skin from the external environment that create problems like, acne, they might call it. Oh, I got to talk about acne. They want a vaccine for acne. How about a vaccine for puberty? Oh, I'll get to that. I jump a little ahead as I'm thinking about some other stories here. But in terms of the lungs and helping them to do their job, there are three remedies, maybe four, but I'll at least pick three here, and I've mentioned them before, but for the new listeners to the Robert Scott Bell Show, I would always start with a little bit of Bryonia alba, the common hops, Bryonia alba. It is a liver polycress, but also has wonderful beneficial impact on the lungs and for coughs as well, primarily because it helps the liver to do its job, so it decompensates, if you will, the need for the lungs to overcompensate for the liver that's congested. So Bryonia alba is great. Now, of the many lung remedies, one of the more comprehensive ones is known as Antimonium tartaricum. Antimonium tartaricum, Antart. I'll have it linked up at the blog as well, or at least written down for you. And in addition to that, Drosera rotundifolia, Drosera with a D as in dog, Drosera. And in addition to that, one of my favorite is toasted SpongeBob. SpongeBob! What are you doing over there? You're a homeopathic remedy. Spongia tosta. That's right. Spongia tosta, toasted sponge from the sea, helps with lung conditions. Many lung conditions, asthma, bronchitis, etc. And so you can look in the Materia Medica. You'll learn more about the nuances of all of these remedies. You'll understand how best to use them. But the beauty is, with homeopathy, you can't go wrong. Utilize low attenuations or low potencies. You won't trigger the healing aggravations or crises, and you'll be okay. Or you can use comprehensive lung formulas like we talk about on the Healing Revolution with Dr. Frank King, my dear friend. And he's available, and they're available at kingbio.com at 800-543-3245, 800-543-3245. And so to wrap that up, I want to move into the herbal realm. Because we talked about some supplements, we talked about some homeopathics, what about the herbs, and we come to lobelia tincture. I won't go into depth right now, but you don't chug-a-lug a lot of lobelia, you don't need to, it's not good to do so. But taking a little bit at a time, you can utilize it very dilute in water and drink it down, and it has wonderful effects to restore motility of the areas of the lungs, the cilia itself, to help detoxify and regenerate. And so this is a wonderful way to go. So if you missed that, I have the Sunday show linked in today's show notes as I do every week. I put them in the weekday, so those of you who don't want to miss something, you know you can go to GCN Live and listen to the archives there, as well as all the hundreds of hours available to you at naturalnewsradio.com, the archives of the Robert Scott Bell Show, and all the links I have right now at my blog at robertscottbell.com. A vaccine for acne? Well, that's coming up next. Or is it? Stay tuned. You'll find out in just a moment on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Really? Like, really? I mean, they're serious? And I thought I was kidding. You might have thought I was kidding, but no! Sanofi Aventis? No, Sanofi Pasteur! Oh, Pasteur raises his ugly head again. The world's biggest vaccine company has signed a contract with the University of California, San Diego to develop an immunological approach to acne prevention and treatment. Of course, acne is not a joke, and they say that in the article, especially when these kids who don't want to, you know, have a pizza face, let's be honest, vanity, it sends us over the roof. I mean, we're willing to risk our lives for vanity. Why? Kids go on this thing called Accutane that can destroy their liver. They have to get liver tests, enzyme tests every month while they're on this stuff. And I know people who have done this. This is amazing to me, considering that acne, you know, can be a normal part of the development of activation of hormones as such. The oil glands really kick into gear. And, of course, we know that on the skin there are all kinds of microflora, just like in your gut, that protect you. And they even acknowledge this. In this story, I have the story linked up through the New Scientist about this acne vaccine. And they actually acknowledge some of these things, and yet they go right on to ignore it because they're saying, well, it's caused by this thing called Propionibacterium acnes. And, of course, there's benzoyl peroxide, there's antibiotics. They all want to kill the bacteria. But, of course, that leads to resistant strains. So they said, okay, let's put some of this stuff in a turnip, and then we'll grow it, and then we'll put it in a mouse's ear. We cause inflammation. And then they take the antibodies that are done, and they inject it, and, oh, my gosh, this is all for acne. And all we need to do is a proper hygiene, sanitation, clean up your act. You know, the gut, the liver, all of those things, if they're not working, the reflection is that on the skin, whether it be eczema or acne, adult or child. the exacerbation of symptoms in normal childhood development, puberty type acne, is the liver congestion, is the intestinal destruction or disintegrity, if you will. My gosh, this is so simple. And they acknowledge it right in this article. You've got to read this. And they're going to keep trying. And then they're going to leap to this monoclonal antibody so that they can be utilizing microneedles to go after this. Inject each little area. Listen, just spray your face with silver hydrosol at night or use the Sovereign Silver First Aid Gel or whatever. Cleanse your body. Natural botanical substances. Neem, different things from the Ayurvedic realm. And there are even a few homeopathic remedies that I can mention that are very simple for acne that can be done homeopathically, not even topically, utilizing them orally. And I would start often with Nux Vomica because it's a liver polycrest. Remember, when the liver is congested, the skin may act out as that organ of elimination that it is, larger than even the liver. And so look to Nux Vomica as a good first starting point to start clearing the pathway. Then another great thing, especially for cystic acne, severe acne, is Ledum, L-E-D-U-M, which is often used for spider bites and puncture wounds because of the deep nature of the serious acne. Ledum is an excellent homeopathic remedy there. You can also utilize Antimonium crudum, ant crude. It's different from Antimonium tartaricum, which I mentioned earlier this hour, in terms of homeopathic addressing lung issues. This is more skin. Antimonium crude is an excellent one, or ant crude for short. I always laughed at that. Kids will love this, because if you shorten some of these Latin names like antimonium crudum, you go ant, A-N-T period, C-R-U-D period. Ant crud! Oh, you're taking ant crud! All right, just a little homeopathic aside, sorry. How about some arsenicum album, right? Some arsenic. Remember, when you have arsenicum, arsenic will create all kinds of skin conditions as well. This is homeopathic. One more to mention, sulfur iodatum. And again, I will increase probiotics, pre and probiotics. So I mentioned the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics would be excellent in these cases as well. Listen, I hope you've had a great first hour here with me on the Robert Scott Bell Show, covering some serious stuff on Mercury and beyond. Mercury and beyond. Thank you to Charlie Brown. Next hour, we're going to hit the radiation issue square, and we are going to give you some options that you won't hear anywhere else. And we'll also be talking some other cancer issues. Cancer is going to be a big theme next hour, so you want to be with us. Remember, robertscadbell.com is the place to go every day. And, of course, as I remind you at the end of every hour, simply this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
a**. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
For modern medicine's love affair with mercury, for spanning over 100 years, 200 years, centuries, that these allopathic docs, as the homeopaths had coined the phrase, to describe their counterparts that tended to like to fight against things with toxic substances. This sickness, this disease care model, there's no care about it other than you care for the disease, but not the human, continues on this hour as we're going to discuss some horrific things that man has done to man in terms of inducing cancer. I'll be joined soon by my dear friend, Dr. John Apsley, as we continue in our series that we started early on after the Fukushima disaster of 2011 first hit, covering the story like nowhere else in media other than Natural News here, Natural News Radio, and the Robert Scott Bell Show. And we've got a new book out about it, What to Do as well. So powerful, life-affirming information, but yes, some scary stuff along the way, but not to frighten you into a state of catatosis or catatonic. No, I'm making up words again. I apologize. Catatonic something or other. We want you to be active to protect yourself and your family, your children, and those are the things we're going to do. But yet, even before all the radiation disasters, protecting yourself from modern allopathic pharmaceutical pseudoscience has been a critical component of maintaining health, much less regaining it. I mean, here's a story. I've got the link of it, Robert Scott Bell Show. Listen to this quote. The data suggests that children suffer more from prematurity than from prenatal chemotherapy. Here you've got doctors that are actually arguing for the safety of chemotherapy given to pregnant women. It's to say it's more dangerous to have a premature birth. And no, I'm not arguing for the safety of premature births, accidental or induced. But the argument is that against chemotoxicity? Listen, the whole basis for cancer is chemotoxicity. Ionizing radiation is another thing that can induce chemotoxicity, as well as the aberrant metabolism of the deranged or damaged cell is such that it's going to create waste components that can't be easily addressed by the human or animal body. On top of that, of course, the damage to the DNA, the genes themselves are very real from these chemotoxic agents, whether they be ionizing radiation, which is another thing that modern oncology has a love affair with, that which causes cancer they use to treat it, including, as I said, toxic oncological treatments like chemotherapy that they're arguing. And here's a story. It's off of Reuters. Chemotherapy appears safe in pregnancy, study finds. And, of course, at the bottom, you go way, way down. Well, at this stage, we don't know the full long-term consequences of prenatal chemotherapy, including its effect on the children's fertility and likelihood of developing cancers when they're older. So the headline says, it's safe, it's safe. We don't know if it's safe. That's where it goes to the end, if you bothered to read far enough down to say that they admit the number of the women in the study was small, follow-up time relatively short for them to determine, oh, yeah, it's safe, no problem. But this is the impression you're left with, and it's no accident. That is why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, to get beyond the superficiality, the dangers of modern medicine. And that's also why I try to link up all the stories that I cover here. I realize sometimes stories will pop up that I can't cover in advance. I don't know. I try to plan ahead. My super producer, Don, helps me immensely in that regard. But we try to put everything up there so you can actually see what I'm talking about. Read for yourself. And you think, this guy, are you kidding? He must be making this stuff up. They're claiming it's safe to do chemotherapy for pregnant women. Yes, that's the headline. As Reuters published it, I got it on Yahoo News. I have the link up for you. As long as it's still live, maybe they're going to start pulling these things down because they're so embarrassed by their stupidity or their outright outrageous willingness to have mothers risk life and limb, much less their babies. Who knows what kind of life they're going to lead based on this, as the article readily admits, albeit at the last sentence of the article. And of course, as I said, this hour, major news on cancers. You're going to hear it increasing, maybe even, was it 20-fold? I'm not sure. We're going to hear from Dr. John Apsley on this, with all that has happened since Fukushima began spewing this radiation into the atmosphere, which still continues. Maybe not at the same rate, but there's horrifying, horrific news about infant mortality in certain areas of the American and Canadian West, and in particular, one city we're going to learn about. I talked with John, and this is just something, it's almost too much to believe. But the good news is we're going to reveal some solutions for you, so you will not have to be a victim in this case. Now, what about futile cancer treatment? What is that? Is that something that the homeopaths are calling futile cancer? No, this is now another story from the allopathic medical community. And what they're saying here is that dying cancer patients should be spared futile, or futile, depending on how you want to say it, and expensive treatments which can offer false hope in the last weeks of life, experts have said. I hate that term, false hope, right? I mean, I don't think, when you understand natural law and you apply the principles, you don't even need hope, in my opinion, because you understand how to apply it, and that which works because it works. But understand, for people that don't understand that, false hope, I mean, what is that? There is no such thing as false hope. And not having hope at all, perhaps. I don't know. Is that better or worse? Warning of a tendency to overdiagnose, overtreat, and overpromise. They say the medical profession has created a set of unrealistic expectations with regard to the disease. Now, listen, at the last stage of so-called cancer, much of which was induced by the chemotherapy that they've utilized to get you there, then they want to throw more on top of it. I realize, yes, that will only decrease the quality of life, and we've found studies that show that having no treatment was better than having treatment at all. In fact, people live longer and live much happier. Quality of life is much higher. But terminally ill patients, according to this article, could even be better off if they forego certain treatments, which would reduce spending and potentially improve end-of-life care. Now, here they talk about it in terms of economics, and that's going to become more and more of the discussion. This is the controversy over the so-called death panels within Obamacare. And if you can't pay for it, you can't pay for it. I know, it's horrific, it's horrible, but it's a monopoly as well. And if we can end the cancer treatment monopoly, we would see a lot of these people never reach the so-called end-stage cancer, because they wouldn't have gotten treatments that actually induced other cancers or other immune deficiencies, collapse, and weaknesses due to pouring gasoline on a fire, which is what chemotoxicity treatments do. This is an article from the Lancet Oncology Journal. The group there said burgeoning cancer costs were being driven up by an aging population, the rapid development of new medicines and surgery. Again, we want to get all of the money we can from you at the last stage of life so you can pass nothing on to your children or grandchildren. And the medical profession has found a wonderful way, through fear induction to the cancer industry, to squeeze every last dime from you and what is left after you leave. They call that your estate. Gobbled up, whether it be by the so-called death tax, inheritance tax, or whether it be by cancer oncology treatments that treat you to death, but in the meantime will bill you long after you're gone. This is not human kindness, not human compassion. This is your brain on chemotherapy. This is your brain on the medical monopoly. It can no longer think clearly like we do here. But if we are to adopt a culture of life, a true one, and we talked about that yesterday with Liam Sheff on the program, I think this was a very important discussion to have, to be able to speak and ask questions about things that are not asked or discussed in the old media. And we continue to cover those things, and we're about to do so once again. If we did this, what we're about to do with my friend Dr. John Apsley, talking about the realities of the Fukushima disaster and everything that preceded it going back to 1952, we would be off the air tomorrow. This would be the last show. But the reality is we're on the Natural News Radio Network, and those of you streaming out through other networks, we appreciate you as well. And that's why we're going to do what we're about to do. Stand by. Dr. John Apsley joins me next, and we are going to cover the Fukushima disaster and what it is giving us and how to prevent the worst of it for yourself and for future generations. Tell your friends. Be right back with me after this word from our sponsor. Say thanks to them. We'll be right back.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
When this story broke earlier in the year, you know what I'm talking about, the Fukushima incident in Japan. We've been covering it here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as has Mike Adams on the Natural News and Natural News Radio. And we have also consistently gone to a dear friend of mine, Dr. John Apsley, for information. In fact, John and I were able to do a panel discussion, and he did a whole presentation at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago as well. And he told me he'd been working on this book almost from the day this thing broke, related to this radiation crisis and all the antidotes that are possible, all gathered into one place. It has finally happened. It is now available, Fukushima Meltdown and Modern Radiation, Protecting Ourselves and Our Future Generations. Joined right now by my good friend, Dr. John Apsley. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back. This is a great opportunity.
And we can't overstate the importance of doing the things that we've already done, but now to have something like this, a book available, this is right now available as an ebook. We'll talk about how to get it, but first and foremost, that it's all in one place, puts things in perspective, is heavily referenced as well, so people can check this out and validate it and verify it for themselves. So we have rational discourse within the book, just like we've had on the air. Some have claimed that we were blowing this out of proportion. I don't know how you can blow a radiation meltdown or a nuclear meltdown out of proportion. Maybe you can put perspective as to why that has happened as well and where we stand today.
Right. Well, it's a good question. It's a fascinating story that will be covered a little bit more extensively in the second edition. The first edition contains all the raw meat, and people will have a chance to digest that and know what to do, because it's not just important for us to learn the truth.
Yes.
We're all grown-ups, but we have to know what to do with the truth. And so the book is designed to handle both those aspects. The question that you're asking actually goes back to the original Atomic Energy Commission.
Yes.
And the Atomic Energy Commission was declared officially to be above the law under executive order. Many people don't know this, but the Atomic Energy Commission was the group that actually purchased the land for Area 51. Hmm. And that property and anything that was done on that property was considered above the law. So any lawless activity that took place, such as when workers were injured through exposures to radioactive materials or whatever chemicals, was not allowed to go into a court of law for right up into the present day. There's been one minor exception, and that exception also applied to Hanford, which is in my state of Washington, where mm-hmm. a lawsuit was brought forward and successfully prosecuted. But the key is that it became known to the general public at that time that there was a group somewhere that was involved with our Defense Department that actually was held above the law. And that trend continued until, believe it or not, our good old buddy Bill Clinton took office back in the 90s.
Yes.
And in 1997, he forced the release of a major document that's available online. It's mentioned in my book and how to get to it, that shows the absolute lawless behavior of the Atomic Energy Commission, which was then absorbed in the late 1970s into the Department of Defense. But the practices, the MO, continue through such agencies today that are the sequel to the Atomic Energy Commission in the Department of Defense, as well as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Hence, my whole blurb here about the fact that what I document in the book is very clearly an attempt to cover up the real harm that was done, because it would endanger the propagation of nuclear power across the world.
Well, which needs to be done. It should be clear by now, if it wasn't in Chernobyl or any other nuclear accident or nuclear on purpose, whether it be dropping nuclear bombs way back at the end of World War II on Japan. I mean, there are a whole host of things that you're bringing up here that go well beyond the things that we had covered prior in our discussions, just trying to get a handle on what was happening in Fukushima. And, of course, when you talk about things being established beyond the law, there is no constitutional authority to do any of those things. And that includes much of what the FDA does as well on a more mundane supplemental level or attack on supplements. But here you have something far more sinister, something that if these nuclear plants, like the disaster in Fukushima, were somehow shut down energy-wise, let's say Mike Adams has been covering the possibility of major sun activity, solar flares knocking out the electrical grid for days, weeks, months, or longer. You couldn't cool these things down. You could have a catastrophic life-ending event on planet Earth.
Yes, and one of the ways in which that you control populations is by their water, food, air supply, as well as their power supply. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, once a catastrophe has happened, or through proper planning, if the word proper can be used,
sure,
you can anticipate what type of medical services will be necessary in the distant future so that the people that are the movers and shakers, the powers that be, the Bilderbergs, if you will, mm-hmm. they know then to invest and to go in that different direction, and they hate to be topsy-turvy. They hate to be deviated from that course of action. This is what's going on right now. It just happened in Germany. Germany will now get rid of all their nuclear power.
Yes.
It just happened in Italy as a result of, Arnie and Maggie Gunderson. And now it looks like Japan will be faced this with their election crisis that just kicked out the last PM. Here's what the truth is. Nuclear power is one of the most dangerous and expensive forms of industry that the planet has ever witnessed. Here's why. We are told as part of their propaganda machine that it is one of the cheapest forms of producing electricity is from nuclear power. That is incorrect. The taxpayer unknowingly is paying for the building of the nuclear power facility up front. Secondly, they subsidize on an ongoing basis in most countries, including the United States, the ongoing month-to-month electrical bill. So even though that it comes in lower by about 5% of what it would be under coal-driven mechanisms,
yes,
it's already been subsidized to make it that low. Next, with all the leukemia rates that are occurring worldwide, especially with the children around nuclear power plants that live within 100 miles or so, they're being handled by Medicaid and by third-party insurances that are private, but then they have to, in a sense, raise their premiums so that everyone else is paying for this medical care that shouldn't be to begin with.
Well, also,
lastly, when there's...
I'm sorry, Dr. Ashley. One of the things that occurred to me, and you might just be getting into that, and I apologize if that's the case. One of the other untenable aspects of the nuclear industry is it's uninsurable. Yet the taxpayer funds that too. I understand, or some way they're making good on insurance that would never in the free market. No one would insure nuclear energy.
Well, that and you've done your reading. That's there's two other aspects of this. The one I was going to mention was that. When there is a catastrophe of any kind, there's been 27 since 1952, the American taxpayer is called in to settle the liability issues because the companies don't have the insurance to cover it. This will be the case of Fukushima. The last thing that's hidden that no one is told about is that when you have to decommission one of these nuclear facilities because it becomes obsolete, and there's like literally there's several dozens of these plants now in the United States, for example, that expense has to be handled by the American taxpayer. So it is by far the most expensive way to generate electricity that we know of. And the reason is because the machinations are set up,
yes,
to tap into the tax dollars so their cronies can make all the profits. That's why they are holding on to it.
You know, even if you're not harmed directly by the ionizing radiation that is released in disasters or non-disasters, the fact is the taxpayer is getting screwed is an understatement here on this whole scam called nuclear energy.
Absolutely. We could go with the so-called, like for example, the steam engine. Einstein said that nuclear power is one hell of a way to make steam.
Yeah.
To boil water. And he's absolutely right. And what I got out of doing all of my recent research was that nuclear power is indeed straight from hell. So it is no wonder that we're suffering the consequences of this extremely deleterious, ill-conceived, and immoral way to go about conducting free enterprise. This is not about free enterprise. This is about control. This is about profiteering at the expense of taxpayers and about maiming and killing individuals as we go. This is the epitome of evil. So we need to stop it, just like Italy and Germany has done, and soon that Japan will also. What we will see in the upper half of Japan is nothing less than what we currently see in the surrounding areas of Chernobyl. It is complete devastation. There are just ongoing onslaughts of the biosphere that's there. And yet, from time to time, depending upon who funds the study to bend the science, we see all these rosy, optimistic reviews of studies saying, oh, life is beginning to come back. That's hogwash. Mm. If you take a picture frame of a long movie, you might be able to see a little bit of optimism. But the movie itself is a catastrophe. It's biblical, and it is just as hellacious as you want to describe it to be. It will continue to be for over 300 years. Well, that's how long these radioactive particles last.
It's absolutely a man-made disaster, too. There's nothing natural about this disaster. As we know, radiation, if you will, coming from stones like, I guess, naturally found uranium, does not have the same deleterious impact as it does when they start pulling this thing apart, refining it into plutonium and other things that are ending up in the atmosphere and contaminating other areas from either the war-making machinery of the bombs, or which basically come from nuclear energy as well. That's where they get the fuel to make bombs in these cases. But basically, this is a very unnatural series of events.
Yeah, that's right. And let's take that. That's a good track of giving an analogy that's about ready to happen. In most of these nuclear power plants have been located in the northern hemisphere. And when the nuclear explosions occurred during the bomb testings above ground up until 1962, these plumes of radioactive fallout were able to contaminate the biosphere, and they'll be in place for at least 300 years, and in many cases up for tens of thousands of years. Those materials were not uranium-based. They came from uranium, but the end products were daughter radionuclides, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
So the southern hemisphere was not completely spared, but to a large extent it was. Now, right now, as we speak, the parliament in Australia, which the country is sitting on 40% of the known uranium reserves of the world, they have just licensed 33 mining operations to enable them to conduct the cheapest form of mining possible, trying to keep their GDP alive. This entitles those licensees to dig straight down into the earth. Now, that is not a natural event. Uranium that arises due to natural events,
right,
will come out in a different form versus when you're digging straight down into the earth, creating these huge craters that causes huge amounts of nanoparticles of uranium dust to go up into the southern hemisphere's jet stream. When that occurs, and it starts in October of this year, that next month, then that will cause the jet stream to equally contaminate the world with nanoparticles of uranium that have a half-life of 4.5 billion years.
We seem hell-bent on a massive global suicide, and we're going to see what we can do to counteract this on the other side of this break. Also find out if anything's being done to stop what's going on in Australia, as well as understand more about what you can do to protect yourself and your family. A little bit more news. I'll ask Dr. Apfel about Germany and Italy, about how they actually got this thing halted, and a lot more important things than ever before we've covered on the Robert Scott Bell Show. This ranks as up there with anything we've ever done. So stay with us. We're coming right back after this break. 866-939-BELL is the phone number if you'd like to be part of the show. RobertScottBell.com for all of the links, including to Dr. Apfel's new book. We'll talk more about that after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's 1-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great Down Under price and free shipping right now at 1-stop-health-shop.com. That's 1-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Radiation is rising. Of course, we need to be ever more vigilant to take care of our families in this way. But the crisis, the antidotes, they're all there. Written about in a new ebook that will be published as well as a paperback soon. But right now it is available. We'll show you how to get there. I've got the links up at robertscottbell.com, and you can link through drapsley.com, drapsley.com, Fukushima Meltdown and Modern Radiation, Protecting Ourselves and Our Future Generations. Dr. Apsley, how about, before we dive further in, you actually have confirmation. I mean, I'm always asking these things, like a whole nation that relied a lot on nuclear energy, like Germany, although France relies on it more. But you said Germany and Italy absolutely have halted it. Are they reversing it? Are they going to decommission? What's happening there?
Yeah, in the case of Germany, they're decommissioning all of their, I think they have 7 or 11 nuclear power plants there. Memory serves, I believe it's 7. And Italy was going to really ramp up theirs, and they've stopped that, and they'll be, I don't know if there's any plant there currently to be decommissioned, but they're going to, you know, they're just going to use an alternative source. Mm-hmm. One of the things I got sidetracked was is that in the case of generating electricity with steam engines, which is what nuclear power does, there are conventional steam engines that actually get 90% conversion versus the 30% that generates electricity today. So if you're in a coal situation or if you're using any sort of steam generation of electricity, the efficiency of conversion of the heat produced or the energy released to actually making electricity is somewhere down between 30 and 40%. So just with using these new steam engines that get 90 or 92% efficiency conversion,
yes,
we could take coal and other forms of electrical spinning of the wheel, so to speak, a lot further than we currently do. That technology is available.
Efficiency of action, that's right. And a lot of these things have been held back or suppressed. Now, if you think a country like Germany, which is very involved in New World Order activity, as we know, that they're reversing course on nuclear energy, have the so-called nuclear nightmare people if you can call them people, realize that their days are numbered, or are they still, I mean, if you talk about what you mentioned just in the last segment about Australia, it doesn't seem that they're giving up.
Yeah, both America and Australia have doubled down. So let me reflect here just for a moment.
Sure.
We're going to double the number of cancers here in the world by 2020. That's only less than 10 years away. And the reason is, in the main, because of radioactive contamination. And this is the reason why. If you look at prior to 1952, when we were not exploding bombs above ground, except for in extremely rare conditions, such as Nagasaki and Hiroshima in 1945, all of the cancer rates and the chronic degenerative diseases were headed downward in the developed countries like the United States. This is before the advent of our modern healthcare system.
Right.
All of it was going down. It was declining rapidly. Immediately after 1952, when radioactive plumes released all the different radionuclides across the United States, and above-ground nuclear testing out in the oceans took place.
Right. That was also in the Southern Hemisphere a little bit. I think the Bikini Atoll, as they said, down there. So there wasn't – it's not like the Southern Hemisphere is 100% immune, but you're right. Most, of course, has occurred in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right. And some of those bordered on the northern side of the equator still. But, yeah, you're right. So what we saw is a dramatic rise relative to the 25 to 45-year-old age group in chronic degenerative disease and premature death. But that number was overlooked because they went to the younger and to the older. And with the younger, they failed to apply up until about 15 years ago the real number of childhood thyroid cancers and childhood leukemias, which were directly attributable to the above-ground nuclear testing. So that's one of the MOs. The modus operandi is not to report the truth for 30, 40 years down the road. It's like Kennedy's assassination. I always, as a young kid, I always said to myself, why are they putting it into a time bottle that'll be released in 2040? What's the problem with the truth? But that's the type of thing that they use. So that gives you an idea of just what type of propaganda machine they've got going.
Sure, and by that time, as they counted on, most everybody that was alive at that point is no longer, and yeah. That's the whole game.
And that's what happened to us, too, unless we take action. So what you're seeing is an above-the-law propaganda machine that has an MO that they will stick to no matter what, unless we take action because we're in fear of our very life. If the cancer rate now is already at one out of every two men will get cancer in their lifetime and one out of every three women, and by 2020 that's going to double. So that will come way down to almost everyone will be subject to getting cancer if we live long enough, that it becomes a matter of our survival to stop doing and to have those things in the environment which are causing this to stop above everything else that we're doing. We're just, as a race, we're just not going to survive. So when I saw Unit Number 3 have a detonation on March 14th, my cancer book was just about finished. But because I knew a great... As you know, Robert, I'm fairly well versed in nanotechnology.
Yes.
When I saw that detonation occur at Unit 3, I instantly knew the global ramifications that would be with us for hundreds, if not thousands, of years that would amplify all other known causations to cancer once these things became absorbed into our bodies through water, through food, or through our inhalations through the air. We now know, and it will be published in JAMA, believe it or not, very soon now, either this month or next month, that people in Seattle were inhaling 10 hot particles a day, every day, throughout the month of April. That's a huge number. Each one of those can cause cancer. That's 10 a day, and that's 300 a month. We now know that the people in Tokyo were inhaling twice that amount. So they're doomed. They're totally screwed over the next 20 years. Originally, I had estimated, because I use a different kind of math than all these wizards out there that like to use math to hide the truth.
Well, I remember it was a great controversy. I heard people going, you know, outraged by the math you were using. And yeah. Where do you stand after working many more months on this?
Yeah. So originally I saw that we had between 20 to 50 to 100 times the lethal effects that we actually finally got the real number on related to the Chernobyl catastrophe. That was about, somewhere around 1 million people were killed because of the Chernobyl catastrophe, mm-hmm. and somewhere around 8 million people were crippled, not just injured, but crippled. That is the first 20 years after Chernobyl. The next 80 years after Chernobyl will likely see a doubling of that number. So after these epidemiologists and medical physicians gathered this over 7 years of hard work going clinic to clinic to clinic throughout that entire region, they realized the massive cover-up that had up until that point succeeded, and they actually had the documents in their hand. That's being attacked now by all the other authorities who are part of the crony movement to keep this truth from the public. Now, in the case of Japan, you've got seven times the release of radioactivity than you had at Chernobyl, at least seven times. I'm being conservative. It's probably closer to 10 times, but I'm going to keep numbers conservative for right now. If you then take that 7, as opposed to my original saying, let's say 50 times Chernobyl, it will mean that 7 million people will be dead as a direct result of the Chernobyl, of the Fukushima catastrophe 20 years from now. That'll be the total number. But no one's going to be out there collecting the data in the proper way because our government officials aren't going to do it. So that's going to be the tough part. You'd have to have another group like Yablokov et al. That's the Russian epidemiologist group that he headed to start this whole process over again in Japan. Well, if you look at Japan, there's something else that compounds the ratio. You've got six times more people that are immediate proximal to the catastrophe, as opposed to Chernobyl. The Chernobyl was in an area that was not very heavily populated, but Japan is heavily populated. So, and of course, the eastern coast of China is heavily populated. The eastern coast of Korea is heavily populated, and because the plume went twice as high into the air as it did at Chernobyl, the United States West Coast in Alaska and Canada were hit extremely hard.
How about Vancouver in Canada?
Sorry?
Vancouver in Canada. How are they faring?
Well, there was a 48% increase in the infant death rate during the time in question when the radiation was at its peak level in the fallout that occurred during April and May.
Did this make any of the papers there?
It did. What happened was the Canadian government tried to start by getting out in front of it, as propaganda will teach you to do. You get out in front of it to mislead. Well, you'll never believe this is actually quotes from the paper. So they get together with the local health department and the national group, and they come and they have a press conference, and they had all the officials there. And they said, look, yes, during the month of April and May, we noticed that there was a 48% increase in infant death rate. Wow. I'm sorry. I have the wrong number. I am terribly sorry. 60% increase in infant death rate for Vancouver, British Columbia. And then everyone was saying, because everyone was thinking on their mind, gosh, is this from the fallout from Fukushima, right?
Right.
These bozos had the audacity to blame the mothers of the children.
A 60% increase? What did all the mothers suddenly do in unison?
Exactly.
Nobody called them out.
They're, you know, when you want to be incompetent as a scientist, not to say that all government officials and scientists are incompetent, but if you are incompetent and you can't get a job in the private sector, then go to the government because they'll employ you, and then you can be an idiot as long as they pay you off.
Wow.
And this is cronyism, and it's worse.
Absolutely it is. 60% increase is unfathomable.
Yeah. Now, on the west coast of the United States, it was at least 35% increase in infant death rate. And in the area of the nation that received the most rainfall, which is when the fallout comes down to the ground the most, that was in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia experienced a 48% increase in infant death rate. Now, These have all been buried. There's been all sorts of scientists out there trying to challenge it and all that with their doublespeak.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that we've seen this before. We've seen this repeatedly over the past 70 years. When you take careful accounting, there's always an immune system problem with the very young and with people with HIV and people with organ transplants.
Except for, John, I have to say this because I've been covering this extensively for so many years, and this year has really topped it with the research that the Perth Group has put on. There is valid evidence that the HIV was never even isolated. Again, I just bring that up as an aside because I have to acknowledge the running theme that we've been covering for so many years here. But suffice it to say, immune deficiency is real, and any and all immune deficiency by whatever cause is going to create the vulnerability, increased vulnerability of any increase of radiation in the atmosphere.
That is exactly correct. There's always comorbidity factors. There's mycoplasma involved with it. There's malnutrition involved mm-hmm. with it. There's use of recreational drugs. There's malnutrition at the head of it.
Yep.
And then the immune system becomes compromised. You're right. So, and now we're seeing this kind of chronic illness, immune deficiency disorder, now spread mm-hmm. like crazy into all sorts of bizarre new names. Like we're seeing, for example, a new variation of Lyme disease, which is not responsive to any other known form of treatment. This will continue because the human body's immune system is what's been attacked here, and nothing attacks it better 24/7, 365 than tiny hot particles that get into our body.
Right, and of course, you're in Washington, and being aware of this, you have established and integrated, immediately implemented, as we talked early on, strategies to protect your family and all those who would listen to begin to do this, which, you know, to me, it's never too late. Unless you're done, you're dead. But the point is, these are the things I've been talking about. You're going to continue to ramp up. And with the release of the ebook now, we have access to a lot of these protocols and methodologies. There's going to be more coming out. I want to reiterate, this is now available. I have the link up. It's even available through Amazon. And I've got the link up at robertscottbell.com. 165 pages. 814 references as of this point, and only $9.99 for that e-download until it's available on by print on demand, and that's coming. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got to extend this. We're going to go one more major. I just can't leave this off here, Dr. Apsley. Can you hang out another segment with me?
Sure, be happy.
I really appreciate that. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. The Robert Scott Bell Show wraps it up with Dr. Apsley after this, and one of the most important topics we've been covering all year, ramping it up even higher right now.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com. and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Apsley has so graciously allowed me to continue with him on this because it's just too darn important, even though, like I said, we're almost out of time, but we're going to wrap it up as much as we can fit into the next 10 or so minutes here. Dr. Apsley, of course, we covered some horrific stats regarding infant mortality rates climbing to ungodly proportions in short spans of time over that April-May time when most of the violent spewing of the radioactive materials into the atmosphere. Now, although it's not as much from what we understand, there are repercussions long-term, and they haven't fully contained it as far as I know, so we're still dealing with an ongoing disaster increasing in the atmosphere as well.
That's right. I'm actually sending soil samples now from that I was personally involved with collecting, either directly or indirectly. I had friends that went out and helped me from British Columbia in Vancouver, several spots there, all the way down to southern Oregon. And we have already sent those samples off to a very special lab that's certified to conduct radioactive testing. The initial preliminary results indicate that near Portland, the amount of cesium, radioactive cesium, both 134 and 137, was off the chart. And so that was on a farm. And all of their food supply, of course, as we anticipated, would be contaminated. Now, what I alluded to in the previous section was that the 7 times greater amount of fuel that was destroyed and made airborne, coupled to the 6 times more populated areas, adds up to that 42 times greater effect that I had predicted early on. It would be up to 50 times. So that math is very carefully laid out in the book. And fortunately, because I was working closely with Arnie Gunderson and Maggie Gunderson, they pointed out to me another article that appeared that showed that the EPA had caught but little of the actual radiation coming in to the United States. On all their graphs, there were bizarre occurrences that occurred. For example, prior to March 11th, the graph was showing that's up and it's in the book, background radiation levels that had been consistent, up and down, up and down. Suddenly on March 11th, it drops out down to almost zero. Really weird. And that continued out until there were major days and we were hit here. Well, we now know from a June study that was released, published in the peer review, that data from the EPA was from 10,000 to 100,000 times less than reality. So basically, it might be too harsh a word to say that they lied to us, but they didn't tell us what the reality was, okay?
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is that, that same company that was retained by the EPA to collect that data, it's a private company, they have the technology to instantaneously recalibrate their monitoring system because they developed the software to do that. That's something they boast about on their website. That's documented in the soft cover edition that will be available on the print on demand. We didn't have time to fit it into the ebook. Mm-hmm. But the ebook, we kept the price down really low so it would really get out there to as many folks as possible, because all this talk that I'm giving you right now would be kind of ridiculous and scary unless there really were solutions. Now, those solutions are in 3 steps. And first of all, let's prevent future. Secondly, let's eliminate what we got in us. And third, let's repair at accelerated rates the damage that's already been done to us.
Correct. I mean, this is the hopeful news that despite some brutal interface with this ionizing radiation in many forms that may not be leaving us for a long time, in nature, we have mechanisms that can adapt and we can adopt and utilize to accelerate, enhance, etc., and our ability to mitigate to the best of our ability, but to be alive, remain alive, and remain cancer-free or counteract cancers. We know what to do. We know how to do it. And now you're spelling it out very explicitly in the book that has first come out now so that there is hope. It's not just a panic, fear-monger, and sorry, SOL, you know, go take your Prozac. I mean, this is not what this is all about. Right. This is very much a hopeful future by confronting what's gone on and then taking steps to prevent what is an apocalyptic event.
Yes, exactly. What really drew me the most were all the poor suffering kids now in Japan. They are so screwed.
Yeah.
And the mothers know this. There are mothers out of their own paychecks, out of their own little savings, that are sending their children's urine off to be tested because the government won't do it, and finding these huge amounts of radiation coming out in the children's urine. So the mothers know that they're in deep, deep, bad, bad darkness there. And this book was written so that those mothers would know what to do to help their children.
Exactly. And this is so very necessary as an understatement. And I'm so grateful for all the time that you spent pulling this together. Again, I remember at the early stages of this, when we were discussing all of this, it was like coming so fast and furiously at us all, trying to address it. And of course, we established some base level protocols to begin to counteract some of it by eating lower on the food chain. We talked about increasing sea vegetation intake, you know, that which is not collected right now in the Pacific Rim, particularly in the Japan area, where we know there was a lot of exposure, increasing selenium levels. So how can we enhance glutathione production? What can we utilize homeopathically? I mean, I work with Dr. Frank King, who you know, to expand the EMF detox that addressed EM fields in addition to address the ionizing radiation. I mean, these are all things we've all been strategizing to see what can we do, whatever simple steps that can minimize this damage and begin to accelerate repair. That's what we want to bring out from this point forward.
That's right. That's right. And what I decided to do, in addition to what you just mentioned, Robert, was that everybody enjoys smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody enjoy it. Kids will drink it. They can be chocolate flavored and all that. So my book is geared as the base with smoothies. And then on top of that, we add in the ones that particularly remove the radiation, repair the damage, and then also protect from future radiation coming in. Those are the antioxidants. So the smoothies do most of that, but then there are a few supplements you can add on top, depending upon your budget.
Sure.
To cover you from A to Z.
Well, again, that's the thing we've got to do. And Dr. Apsley, I'm so grateful that you've taken the time to do it, and also to jump on board so quickly after this has just come out, to get the word out here to the Robert Scott Bell Show listeners, those listening through Natural News, and as well, loads more listeners through the Prepper Podcast Network. We now carry this as well at prepperpodcast.com, and even more that I can't even fathom. I don't know how many, but people around the world are listening. And we've got more to cover on this. I know we'll be able to get you back on as soon as possible to do some more in regards to revealing some of these simple techniques people can do. So there's not only hope, and we're not talking false hope, real. We're talking reality of things you can do, practicality. You know, hope is not what you need when you actually have something that you can do to get this thing done.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Apsley, once again, I want to link to you, and I have the links up at robertscottbell.com to drapsley.com, drapsley.com, as well as the links to direct to the Amazon, so you can get this download any which way. And as we become, know more about how to get a hold of the on-demand book, we'll get you back on and we'll do some more.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. You take care now.
And I urge everybody to please take the time to re-listen to this show, because this is a life-changing, life-affirming show based on what is happening. I know it is invisible and unseen, but when you start pulling out the stats and seeing the infant mortality rises in the areas most exposed, when you see the cancers increasing as they have been for a long time now, not only accelerating, this is information that will save your life and the life of your loved one. So thank you all for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today. We'll continue follow-up. If you have any questions or comments, like I said, you can always go to 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, or robertscottbell.com. Leave a comment or question. We'll see what we can do to get back to you on that. And in the meantime, despite all of this, despite all of the fear that may be induced by acknowledging reality, the design is really to empower you with this information, remind you the very thing that I've been reminding you for years here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, simply that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.